Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever you are. This is the end of the Bible Tour podcast.
It's the end of the tour as we know it.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 390, Bible Tour Memories.
My name is Davey Naylor. I'm joined with David Ellis, Richard Ede, Penny Ailes, world record holder William Meredith, and Alan Sennin.
Who is not a world record holder.
Alan Sennin is not a world record holder, but Gary Fannin, world record holder Gary Fannin, did do a radio interview for Newry in Northern Ireland, which he was called Alan Sennin the entire time. And he was so... This is the thing with Gary now. He was born and raised in Texas, but now he's been living in London for so long, he's very anglicised. So he was very... He didn't want to correct the guy because it's such a British thing to correct the guy. No, that's not my name, honestly. It really isn't.
But also the weird thing was he didn't actually call me Alan until right close to the end, I think.
Actually, Gary has more nicknames on this exactly. tour. He has picked up more nicknames than anyone Fannin. Else in the cast.
It's the first time Fannin, Loose Cannon Fannin.
Yeah. Alan Sennin.
There's some ruder ones which I can't mention.
Four days Fannin.
That's because I hurt my back and I had to miss some shows, so I was only
for
doing
4 days.
Shut up.
Oh, that doesn't mean how long it takes you to... No, okay. Right, okay. The whole point of this podcast is because we're at the end of 3 months... Well, actually, be more than 3 months now of the... tour. We've been touring the UK now and Ireland for the last 4 months. We started just after New Year doing rehearsals, and now we're in the middle of May. So what we thought we'd do on this podcast is we'd all share our delights of the tour. So what's been your favourite places to visit so far? Theatres and towns?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Alan, you go first.
Alan. Oh, hi, it's Alan Sennin here, the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Google him.
Well, funnily enough, I really enjoyed Cork. This is the first time I've been to Ireland proper. And what I mean by that, because I've been to Dublin before and I've been to Belfast, but that's like saying, oh, I've been to America, I've been to New York City. But now that we've driven around, we've been to Waterford, we've been to Cork, we've been to Galway today, we just did a show in Galway. And I actually really like Cork. It was a nice little town center, like little independent sort of coffee shops and restaurants. And it was a lot of charm.
I really like Theatre by the Lake. That was a beautiful theater.
In Keswick.
Yeah, in Keswick.
Lake District.
Lake District, right. Is that Beatrix Potter, or is that the one, or is that the Peak District?
No, that's all right.
She's right, okay, yeah.
She wasn't there. She's been dead quite a while now.
I was shocked that she wasn't there. No, but that was... We had the delight of having to perform around a set that was already on... We haven't talked about this yet, have we? We had Dancing at Lunessa.
Lunessa.
Dancing at Lunessa.
They got in contact with Davey like days before and were like, oh, by the way, you have a small obstacle to perform around you're in Keswick. A diagonal fireplace. It wasn't even like it was flat against the stage.
It was huge.
So we had this huge, authentic-looking fireplace with a crucifix with a picture
of...
Or the picture of the Virgin Mary or something.
Yeah,
so
fit it in.
I took some pictures. I'm at Ginger Davesky. Just go look on my pictures on there. You'll probably see the set that we had to perform on. It was quite unique. It was just basically a fireplace in the middle of the stage, which was... attached to half a wall. They couldn't move it at all.
And a tree. I got told to reference them when I'd say, Moses talked to the burning bush, but I went out of that one.
I wanted to light it on fire, and then we'd have a real burning bush. But apparently, that's a fire hazard.
Well, instead of sort of like pretending it wasn't there, I thought it was best to try and brace the set and make use of it. And we put the Bibles that we use in the show on the mantelpiece, plus all the other books, the Asimov books and the Children's Illustrated Bible. Yeah. We put them on there and other
things. John 3:16.
Yeah, all other things. We used the set, the space.
Jacob's Ladder was on the...
It had a really nice sort of storytelling element to it, because you could just slowly, as you were introducing a segment, you could... You could pick the Bible off the shelf, and then as you're finishing, light the baby with that. And now let's meet an unassuming little shepherd boy. Place the Bible back on the shelf.
And if only there was just a rocking chair on the side there, so you
could. Can I say my favorite bit, which I thought was hilarious at the time when we were planning this, because it was a hearth and actual sort of like, you know, wood stove in the hearth.
Does Will want to take this? Because it was him who had to execute it.
So yeah, it's the part of the show.
Well, the auction in which I come running out with the two little baby dolls shouting about the Hebrew children being thrown into the fiery furnace. We thought that would be hilarious if we actually threw these little babies into the
And Will, can I ask you a question? Was it hilarious?
To me, it was, but the
and the 450 people who are watching you do this.
It was silence. It was painful. I don't think they appreciated.
I think horror.
Yeah, there wasn't so much silence as just shock at watching these two babies being thrown into a furnace. And then us just running on and going on with the next.
It seems like such a good idea.
I thought it was hilarious, but I probably got into it.
Does anybody else have any other highlights of the tour?
I always like going up to Scotland, and I like that we got to spend some time in Edinburgh as well and do the ghost tour, which was great because I just think it's such a magical city. Mm. I'm looking forward to going there in August. Buxton's always going to be one of my favorite theaters to go to, so just because it's so beautiful and the crowds are always fantastic, and we stay in that cool hotel with all the themes.
The Buckingham Hotel is, we always stay there. It's a private hotel. We normally stay in Premier Inns or Travel Lodges most other places, but we go to the Buckingham Hotel, and in every room they have a film star on the wall.
Most rooms.
I think I had Drew Barrymore this time. What did you guys?
I had Brad Pitt.
I had Demi Moore, which brought many sweet dreams. Thank you. Thank you, Demi.
Robert De Niro, I think. Yeah, yeah.
See, I was got it last year when we came here during the Shakespeare tour. I had Gwyneth, but I got downgraded to Drew.
Is that a downgrade?
It is for me.
Side stories.
Now, as I'm a big Alan Partridge fan, I claim to be, it was the first time I'd ever been to Norwich. And I thought Norwich was beautiful.
No, you're saying it wrong. It's pronounced Narge.
Narge. Okay, I'm getting that right. I fell in love with that town. I thought it was beautiful.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd never been there. So that was a highlight for me.
I tell you what, we should definitely do a shout out to the Civic Center in Stourport. Is that what it was called?
Oh, yeah.
And the April the 1st.
Let Davey tell the story.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to be too disparaging to the various venues. I hope you're not listening, by the way, Stourport. but let's just say this was the 1st of April. So, and I really did think at one point somebody was going to jump out and go, April Fools. It was challenging, let's just say. The guys were really lovely and sweet and great. And Penny, what did they call you all?
Jenny for the day.
She was Jenny for the day, that's right. And of course, they spoke with this really, really strong, brubby Black Country accent. So, Jenny, all right there, Jenny, how's it going?
I don't think this is speaking ill of them. This was completely just a misunderstanding. But Jenny sent them off to photocopy the Generations of Adam, and what they brought her back instead was a photocopy of the bad cat that we draw during the audience party.
That's right. Instead of actually photocopying the actual printed thing, on the back of the bit of paper was a hand drawing of a cat. And instead of 30 copies, we got three.
We got three badly drawn cats.
Yes, yeah. which was a hell of a lot of use. But it amused us for hours and hours and minutes afterwards. This very hotel that we're actually speaking to you from is very posh here in Galway. The Clayton Hotel in Galway is very beautiful. It's got red valances around the bed. It's very exciting. But we do sometimes, you know, go rough. And, you know, we sometimes have to stay in a travel lodge here and there. And then William's got a very, very funny story when we were in Kendal about travel lodge.
Oh, yeah. So we get there after a show, and usually the adrenaline's worn down when you have a bit of a drive after the show and you just want to get to your room and unwind. And, like, for example, for myself, I got to get in there and call the wife, you know, and do my husbandly duties like that. So I'm ready to get in the room and notice my key doesn't work. Now, that's quite common with these new...
Now, when you say key, define what a key is. Yeah.
You know, one of these looks like a little credit card type thing. Yeah, not an actual proper key, which I wish more places used. And it didn't work, but this happens a lot, and you just go to reception, get it reprogrammed, and you go back, so no big deal. So I go down, He reprograms it for me. I try it again. It doesn't open. So he says, okay.
This is Keith. We remember Keith. That's his name, wasn't
Keith.
It?
He was a very, very confident man, Keith.
Bless him.
So he comes up to let me in with his pass key. And his master key, which is supposed to open every door in the entire hotel, does not open my door. And that's when I start to really get worried. And I see the panic in Keith's face. It doesn't take long. His forehead's sweating already because he doesn't know what to do. If the master key doesn't work, he doesn't have...
He hadn't been trained for this, apparently.
He doesn't
kept
have
saying,
a backup plan.
Now, bless him. Now, Keith was very much the night shift guy who's just sort of left in the hotel because not much happens, usually, in the middle of the night. And, so he doesn't have a lot of sort of duties, in the middle of the night. But he did this night.
Yeah, so he knew that there was a machine in the back office that was made to take care of an emergency like this, to open the door and reprogram the locking apparatus itself. It's just that he hadn't yet been trained how to use it. So what this meant was he had to find some person of management at some travel lodge somewhere within the country. I think he eventually ended up calling someone in Blackpool. And he also
said to me that you only get one shot at doing this. If you did it wrong first time round, it would totally freeze the door and you'd end up having to break the door down.
Now, that sounds a bit ridiculous to me that you only get the one shot at doing it. But I think that since he told Davey that, that's what he believed, which explained why he was shaking so much when he actually put this thing in there and was trying to do it.
Sweat on his brow was dripping. The scene in Airplane where Ted Stryker's there trying to land the plane and the water's just dripping off his...
It was like that, wasn't it?
And it didn't work. So it didn't work the first time, and so that was it. He was convinced that he had ruined it and it wasn't going to happen.
He was fired.
But he tried. Within half an hour, I was in my room. So luckily, it didn't last more than half an hour.
Can I just say what you did to that poor man, which I thought was funny, but also extremely cruel, because as soon as he finally got the door open, I've been watching this in the hallway, and poor Keith was shaking and sweating, and finally they managed to get that door open. Will walks in and goes, "Oh, this isn't my room." And the look on Keith's face, he literally went pale and just froze. And you left it a good, 5 seconds before he said, "No, I'm just kidding. It is my room."
He had it coming.
Hi, this is Rich Fulcher, and you're listening to the Radu Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? We begin our reduced mini-tour of the UK this week, performing the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, from tonight, May 27th to June 28, 2014. 20 shows in 30 days. Then in the last week of July 2014, we'll return to the San Jose Repertory Theater in Northern California to perform the complete history of comedy, abridged, for a week. And then we return to Edinburgh for the month of August to perform the European premiere of the complete history of comedy, abridged. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office, venue, and ticket information. Now, remember how this tour of the Bible, the Complete Word of God Abridged, began with all the kerfuffles and protests in Newton Abbey, Northern Ireland? Well, the guys did come across the odd protest on the tour, perhaps none odder than the lone protester in Burton-on-Trent.
Oh, what about that protester in Burton-on-Trent?
Burton-on-Trent, I found out about him because in one of the Google alerts, which I do, through Gmail, I got this alert that there was this lone protester who was going to be protesting the show tomorrow night.
And why was he protesting, Gary?
Well, obviously, the show is blasphemous, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. No, it's not.
But he hadn't seen it, right?
Of course he'd seen. Let me back up because his argument was so ludicrous. Anyway. So we knew this guy was going to be there, and on his own because it said he was a lone protester. Anyway, so we turned up at the theater, and we're actually driving in front of the theater trying to find where the loading dock is, and we see this guy picking up trash from the street and moving it. No.
He was throwing it
from the bush onto the road. That's right. And we were looking at it. It obviously caught our attention. And suddenly I went, Oh my gosh, I think that's him. I think that's the protester.
We all got on our phones.
So we got on our phones to look up at the Google alert because it had a picture of the guy in the newspaper. And indeed, it was him throwing trash into Barry the road. Martin. Barry Martin. Mm. So anyway, so we're doing the fit up, and it's about, I don't know, about 3 o'clock or whatever, and we're all just hanging out in the theater. And Will and I are just sitting in the theater, and suddenly the guy walks in. And he's actually been in the theater all day long, putting up these little handwritten bits of paper saying, "It's a hell of a show," with like hell, you know, under, you know, in red marker pen.
Not just a pretty face.
And the box office girls have been going around all day taking these signs down and holding on to them and stuff. And he was kind of harmless, but obviously just I don't know.
Loud harmless.
Loud harmless, yeah. So he walks into the theater and comes up to me and Will. "Are you the three comedians doing this show?"
He came up to the two of us.
And I said, well, first of all, we're not comedians, we're actors, and there's three of us. And in fact, there's actually four actors in this company, you know, and there's a crew here. And he said, you know, how do you feel about doing the show? And I thought, okay, here we go. So he wants an argument. So my first question, well, actually, the first thing I did to him is I put my hand out to him, and I said, "Hi, I'm Gary. What's your name?" And I shook his hand. "I'm Barry," he said.
Gary and Barry.
Gary and Barry. I was like, oh, that sounds like a double action. Yeah, so when he says, you know, are you guys, you know, how do you feel about doing the show? And I was like, well, have you actually seen the show? And he said, "No, but I don't need to commit murder to know that that's wrong."
There you go.
It was so out of left field, it completely threw me. Of course, 5 minutes later, I thought, wait a minute. When someone is accused of committing murder, there is a trial where all the facts are presented before a jury, and the person is presumed innocent until proven guilty by presenting all the facts in front of a jury of their peers and a court, to where you review the topic in full and make an informed decision, which is something he did not do, right? Because he looked at the title the play and decided that we were being blasphemous. So anyway, eventually he was escorted out by the front of house staff, and then Davey...
Well, no, he was out in the lobby, and David, you spoke to him for a little while. And he...
Can I just say what he said to me? He said one of the best things to me. I asked him as well. I said, "Describe the show to me," and he said, "Comedy cash cow." And I said, "Well, no, that's not, it's, you know, it's not the Bible. It's three guys trying to tell the Bible." And he wasn't very impressed about that either. And I suggested ever so politely that, you know, it might be something to do with the lack of sense of humor on his part, maybe. And insolent, you know, it was polite and all that. But he just goes, "Oh, no, I've got a sense of humor. I watch The Big Bang Theory. It is just a theory, mind." Which I just thought was the most amazing thing.
It's a great line.
Yeah, so he hung around a little bit more front of house, and the front of house staff had known him, but he'd been in over the last couple of days, and they are, you know, have friendly with the local police, so they kind of like just phoned up the local bobby and said, this guy's back, can you come down and have a word? So the policeman came down and sat him down and politely, with his notebook, wrote down every single thing he said for 20 minutes. And after those 20 minutes, he folded up his notebook and then he just said very calmly to the guy, "Now, I've listened to you, now you listen to me. If you cause any fuss, I'm going to arrest you. Is that clear?" And the guy then went into a sulk for the rest of the evening. And he sulked about a little bit. And when all the people were coming to you know, prior to the show, about 20 minutes before, he going to the bar, so like he was wandering around sulkily, like a little teenager, you know, trying to sort of like find people that he can sort of like, you know, say things to. And he eventually came up to me about 5 minutes before the show started and completely threw me again. Well, he said, "Break a leg tonight." And I went, "Oh, that's, thank you very much." And before I could even say that, he was out the door, and he slammed the doors behind him, got in his car, and drove off very, very fast. And that was the last we saw of him. Yeah. So I guess he felt a little bit peeved that he was told off by the police.
I actually did a bit of after that, because I was pretty disappointed meeting him, because I felt so bad that something that we were doing, that it's meant to, you know, it's a comedy show, it's meant to make people happy. And he was obviously so upset by it. So I kind of did a little bit digging. And he's been in the paper before. I think he's a bit of a known character in those parts.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I think there are like at least three other articles I found where he was creating a fuss about something or other in Burton-on-Trent. So,
I actually offered him tickets to come see the show. I said, look, come and see it. Make an informed decision. You know, I said to him, I'm happy to buy you tickets. I will just come and watch it for free so you see what it's about. And that's when he threw the line about me, about, you know, murder at me. You know, how do you argue with something like that? Yeah, it's a shame. It is a shame. He did not have a point.
Well, you see, proof denies faith, Gary.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your Bible memories via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Lone Pro Protester Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Daniel Wild. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Rich Fulcher, who I really hope we'll get to see again this summer in Edinburgh. Thanks too to Davey Naylor, Richard Ead, Will Meredith, Penny Ailes, David Ellis, and Alan Sennen for recording their memories. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 1170th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
From all of us here in Galway on the Bible Tour 2014, a fond farewell. We'll see you all again soon.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling.
Goodbye, everyone!
On that bombshell, goodbye.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.